Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The last book of the Christian Bible, the book of Revelation, seems to get more attention in hard times. With its fiery imagery of the battle between God and evildoers, the Whore of Babylon, the Mark of the Beast, the Grapes of Wrath, it's the book that helped inspire Michelangelo's Last Judgment, Julia Ward Howe's Battle Hymn of the Republic, Harold Camping's much-mocked predictions of the rapture last year, and the Left Behind novels. Princeton religion professor Elaine Pagels has specialized in explaining the historical context of the books of the New Testament. She now turns her attention there in her new book, Revelations, Visions, Prophecy, and Politics in the Book of Revelation. And she joins me this morning. So nice to have you in our studio.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I'm told there are two kinds of Christians, those who could be said to revel in Revelation and those who skip over it. Does that sound right?
That does sound right, actually. Some love it and some never talk about it.
Believers, to varying degrees, see divine intervention in what God included in the Bible. But as a scholar, you focus on the human authors and social history of the time the Bible was being written and assembled. What do we know about the author of Revelation?
Well, it's a good question, because what you said about people in times of trouble and war referring to this book, it helps to understand that the author was writing at a time of war. He just had come out of the Jewish war against Rome, in which his people had been utterly destroyed by the Roman Empire. And you see that in this powerful imagery that you mentioned.
And who was the writer?
His name is John of Patmos, and traditionally he was identified with the disciple of Jesus, but probably he wasn't. That was put in there to make it sort of all right with other Christians. He was writing about 60 years after Jesus was crucified, in the conviction that Jesus would come back and rule the world and destroy Rome that was now dominating the empire.
He was a Jewish Christian, quote-unquote, disciple of Christ, who considered himself Jewish, saw the destruction of the Second Temple?
Yes, he did. And he then fled to what is now Turkey and wrote this book in saying, well, Jesus appeared to me, and he said, I'm going to show you what's going to happen now. The end is coming, and these prophecies will occur, and Jesus will come back, avenge all his enemies, and rule over the world.
He didn't think it was going to take until after 2012, though, did he?
We don't think so. He actually was writing, you know, about very specific issues. But being a Jewish prophet was dangerous in the first century, because criticizing the Roman Empire could get you killed. Jesus's followers, like Peter, he was crucified. Paul was beheaded. Jesus's brother James was lynched outside Jerusalem. So it was dangerous to be a Christian, and it was dangerous to criticize the empire.
And I gather you're going to read a short excerpt from your book that illustrates some of this context, right?
Well, yes, because John really kind of wrote in code. You know, he, instead of talking about the empire, he talks about a great beast with seven heads and seven crowns on its heads. And this is what I wrote about it. To make sure that no one missed his meaning, he said, this calls for wisdom. Let anyone who understands calculate the number of the beast. It's the number of a human being. The number is 666. And, of course, people have tried to figure that out ever since. But in its context, John was probably using a kind of number system that Jewish rabbis and mystics used, in which you have numbers and letters, you know, which correlate. And it probably speaks about the imperial name of the Emperor Nero, whom he saw as the epitome of the worst of Roman rule.
Listeners, is there an image or passage in Revelation that you would like explained by a scholar? Call us 212-433-WNYC. You can ask a priest any day or an evangelical minister. Today you can ask a scholar, 212-433-9692. To speak with Elaine Pagels, author of Revelations, Vision, Prophecy, and Politics in the Book of Revelation. Or you can post your question or your comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So the way you interpret the book, when John of Patmos was railing against evildoers, he might have been talking about non-Jewish followers of Jesus. And the Rome that eventually became the established Christian church?
He was mainly talking about the Romans who were persecuting followers of Jesus at the time. They were being arrested and tortured and put into prison and so forth. But what's fascinating is that he writes in such wild and vivid images that people who've been in conflict for 2,000 years can read those same images about monsters and the whore and the beast and read their own conflicts into them. That's how the book keeps being interpreted in so many astonishing ways.
What drew you to study this book at this time? President Bush was fond of the word evildoers and seemed to share the book's good and evil view of the world. Did that play a part in your contemporary interest?
Well, the fact that people are reading it now, you know, and reading contemporary events out of it matters a lot. I actually, when I was 14, joined an evangelical church, and I thought it was marvelous, you know, the intensity and the passion, the commitment. And I had to leave about a year later when some member of the group said that my friend who was Jewish was going to hell. I just thought, this has nothing to do with what drew me here. But it gave me a sense of how people actually do love this book and read it, and also what can be very, shall we say, dangerous about it.
If this is a book for hard times, do you see the book of Revelation drawing more interest now, post 9/11, post financial crisis?
Yes, it is, because in hard times, people are dealing with serious conflict. And as you said, they'll often see themselves as the good side against the evil side. I mean, that, of course, means you can't negotiate a conflict. It means your enemies aren't really quite human. You don't have to deal with them. You can just try to destroy them. And that makes conflict pretty much non-negotiable.
Anna in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Elaine Pagels. Hello.
Yes, hi. I wanted to know if you know about, or I believe there was a reference made in the Old Testament, the prophets Chizkiyahu, about a beasted figure in the scripture in the Old Testament, and so could that be a reference back to the Old Testament?
You're absolutely right. This author, John of Patmos, who wrote the book of Revelation, knew the Hebrew scriptures, and he loved especially the prophecies. He read Isaiah, Jeremiah. I think you may be talking about the book of Daniel, which talks about, you know, beasts. And he sort of takes that prophetic imagery, which he loves and which is about conflict between Israel and other nations, and reads it in terms of his own time.
Thank you for your call, Anna. By the way, do Catholics sometimes call the book Apocalypse as opposed to Revelation?
Yes, they do, because the Greek word is apocalypsis, and it's exactly the same as Revelation. Somebody said to me, well, it's Revelation singular, right? Which it is.
Yes.
But I called the book Revelations because we now know about a lot of other revelations, some written by Jews, some written by Christians, written by pagans. And so the book shows also that it's only one of many books of Revelation. The others didn't make it into the Bible.
So apocalypse, apocalyptics. Question on our website from a listener is, apparently the word Armageddon appears only once in the Bible and didn't get much attention until the 1800s in the USA. Is that true, and why the increase?
Well, actually, in the 19th century, the Battle of Armageddon was understood by many people in terms of the Civil War. And people on both sides of the war, the Union side, the Confederate side, both thought, this is the end of time. This is the final battle of before Jesus returns. And you can read, as you said, Julia Ward Howe in the Battle Hymn of the Republic celebrated that battle.
Simon in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. I was wondering if you guys could explain this image of the seven vials. I just read a novel set in Tudor England, and it came up a lot, this book of Revelation. And I was wondering where the image comes from and what it's supposed to mean.
This is the seven vials of retribution?
Yes, this is a chapter
or is it
of the book.
Vials?
It talks about huge golden bowls, and they're held by seven angels. And the book says that one angel after the other pours from these bowls the cup of God's wrath on the earth. And actually, the sixth angel pours it over the Tigris-Euphrates River, which is Babylon for John, and for some people more recently was seen as Iraq. But yes, it is about sort of terrible events happening on earth that John feels are prophesied and are evidence of God's judgment.
By the way, if we think of this as associated with conservative Christians, Martin Luther King, you cite him in your book, he said, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice," one of his most famous quotes. Is that a reference to the book of Revelation?
Actually, he used that from somebody else, but he understood the book of Revelation, as many African-American preachers have and many others, because when people were in situations of oppression and suffering and violence directed against them, as John was in the first century, they've always identified with the hope that Martin Luther King expresses, that God would come and bring divine justice and retribution to those who do evil and restore peace on earth.
So a sermon in a black church on the book of Revelation would be very different from one we might hear from Jerry Falwell or someone.
It's very different if you're the one being oppressed than if you're the one doing the oppression.
Joel, in Westchester, you're on WNYC with religion scholar Elaine Pagels. Hello.
Yes, I heard you on Monday, the other night on Terry Gross's show. I bought the book yesterday. My question is, do we know, is this Revelation, is there one copy of something that is actually in John's writing, or is this a compilation that was done over a series of years?
That's a good question. And, you know, we really don't have something written by the actual author because, you know, those manuscripts and those scrolls didn't really survive. But the copies we have are later. But most scholars think it was written by one person whose original language was Hebrew. He wrote in Greek, a kind of odd Greek, because he was writing a language that wasn't his. But we do think it was written by one author at a specific time, as he was actually hoping that God would come and set right everything that was wrong on the earth.
Have you been following the Republican presidential campaign? Religion is certainly coming up quite a bit. Do you ever want to step in like Marshall McLuhan and Annie Hall and just explain things to everybody?
Well, it would be a very difficult thing to explain everything to everybody because it's so complicated. But just when people are in intense conflict is when you'd expect to hear people for 2,000 years, you know, they've been reading this book in the 9th century, reading it in terms of conflict between Muslims and Christians. They've been reading it between Roman Catholics and Protestants in this 15th century and so forth. I mean, you can plug almost any conflict into that.
Bernie in Stroudsburg over the Jersey line in PA. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. What are you thinking?
Okay. Now, my question is to her. She said about the 666.
The 666. Yeah.
666, yes. Which represents the system, the mark of the beast system. Now, I want to understand something. Is she a believer? Is she not a believer? Because one thing, you can have someone speak about a book, and they're not a believer, but they don't understand the symbolic meaning.
Well, tell us, Bernie, if you are a believer, what does it mean to you?
To me, it represents a false worship, a false system. Mm-hmm. If you look at the book of Daniel, it shows us the prophecy that was spoken about these same beasts in the book of Daniel. And then you come into Revelation, which means it will be revealed. So it's talking about the system, the papacy system, the Rome system. If you go back and you read history, you see that the five empires that was upon the earth took place. You have Babylon, Medo-Persia, you have Greece, Alexander the Great. We read about him. You have Rome, pagan mm-hmm. Rome. Then you have the papacy, where they all broke up at a certain time.
So this represented the whole, and I'll tell you, Elaine, I used to have a phone number with the Exchange, 666, right here in Manhattan. And most people didn't refer to it at all, but sometimes I would say, they'd say, "What's your phone number?" "Oh, it's 666, blah, blah, blah." Ooh.
But, you know, what you're saying is exactly the way John understood it. It comes out of the book of Daniel, and it is understood to be the empires of the world. He probably certainly meant the Roman Empire and its rule, and the name could refer to the emperor simply as a kind of emblem of the whole thing. But as you say, it's been reinterpreted for 2,000 years, and it still is.
We have the 999 plan and now 666 being discussed in 2012. And on the political trail, Newt Gingrich has been quite forceful in his support of Israel. They all are, but many evangelical Christians are, and some suggest that's due to their interpretation of Revelation and the need for an established Jewish state speaking Hebrew in Israel in order for the conditions to be right for the second coming of Christ. Is that a literal understanding that you think a lot of people who take Revelation seriously would share? And is that an example of foreign policy reach of the book of Revelation and its believers?
I think you're right that it's both of those. And it's an understandable interpretation because John was writing about Jerusalem. And to this day, in the center of Jerusalem, you can see the temple destroyed as it was 2,000 years ago when he saw it. So it's not surprising that people read it that way. That's one of many. But reading those particular events can be very tricky.
Scott and Yonkers, you're on WNYC with Elaine Pagels. Hello.
Hi. My question is, are you familiar with the book Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, which has a chapter entitled The Apocalypse and gives a spiritual interpretation where the real battle is within each human's consciousness to overcome materialism? And also, do you see a spiritual interpretation of Revelation as perhaps similar to a spiritual interpretation of the Islamic idea of jihad?
It's a wonderful question.
Yes, it is.
That maybe there's something to be learned by individuals from the book of Revelation, other than believing that there's going to be this fiery end of the world based on whether you believe in Jesus.
You know, you bring something very important up here. I mean, when the Roman Empire, instead of being destroyed in the 4th century, actually became Christian, Christians began reading it, just as you say, as a kind of interior spiritual struggle. Mystics have read it. William Blake did magnificent paintings and etchings picturing the book of Revelation as a kind of spiritual struggle. It's remarkable how that works.
I want to ask you our end of war question that we're asking a number of thinkers from a number of disciplines these days. Have you ever given it any consideration in the context of your study of religion? And some of the war imagery is certainly very present in this book. Whether it's possible for humans to abolish war and make war a thing of the past, as we've made slavery a thing of the past?
Well, I think that's a great question, and it may be time to try. One thing that strikes me about this book is that it interprets conflict as a conflict between the saved, the damned, the good, and the evil. And as long as we think that way, almost war is inevitable. There are other books of Revelation that have a universal vision of human beings, and that's quite different. And maybe that I think we might look at those now and learn a lot from the other books that were suppressed.
In a way, and I'm no expert, but Revelation seems like a tack-on to the New Testament in that Jesus was such a man of peace, and yet the Bible ends with a war story.
That's a very good point. And actually, it was enormously disputed for exactly that reason. It was tacked on, as you say, by a bishop who wanted to say, you have to be Orthodox and believe as we believe. Otherwise, you're going into the lake of fire. But that's not what John was writing.
Princeton religion professor Elaine Pagel. She has specialized in explaining the historical context of the books of the New Testament. She turns her attention in her newest to the book of Revelation. It's called Revelations, Visions, Prophecy, and Politics in the Book of Revelation. Fascinating. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we conclude our series on New York area folks hoping to go to the Olympics in London this summer with two equestrians from our area, hoping to ride their horses over there this year. Stay with us.